With the global pandemic, we've been experiencing changing so much of how we live life. Has that included your work? Yeah, my guess it has. And if it has, there's a good chance that loneliness has become a bigger factor than it used to be when it comes to your job. Well, the group is talking about loneliness on Discover the Word right now, and specifically this week, the pain of alone. And we're identifying some of the reasons why we seem to be feeling so alone. And so Mark DeHaan, Elisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day are going to have a conversation today about what they're calling vocational loneliness and how isolation and disconnectedness and the resulting feelings of loneliness related to our jobs can affect us. And so pull your chair up to the table with the group for our Wednesday time together on Discover the Word next. And it is good to have you here today as we continue a series we've titled You Are Not Alone, which will provide you with hope and encouragement when you're struggling with those feelings of aloneness that we all at times feel. And as I said today, as we identify another cause or factor in feeling that way, we're going to focus on this vocational loneliness dynamic. And where Elisa wants Mart and Bill and Daniel to begin this conversation is with something that the workplace was kind of trending toward even before the pandemic. But now since the first of the year, it has just exploded. And that is working from home, working remotely. Now, of course, not every job can be done that way, but we've discovered that a lot more can work that way than we may have thought. But disconnectedness can accompany that. And that can be difficult. All right, so let's listen to the group as they explore this growing vocational aspect of loneliness.
Do you guys work from home? I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah?
Partly and partly not.
Okay.
Yeah. Every once in a while, but most of the time I'm in the office.
Okay. What are some of the perks of working from home? I mean, there are some.
I love working in my pajamas.
Yeah, if you have a conference call, you just put on a shirt, you know.
Yeah,
but
right.
You got pajamas on the bottom, you know, and house shoes on the bottom. Yep.
I like having access to the food and the drinks and can make coffee easily. And
And some of us have family cares as well.
Yeah.
There are people within the home that need help. And so the freedom to be able to do your work and then also be there for, you know, for that loved one.
That's so,
that means everything.
That's so good, Mart. And, you know, working moms who are able to do a couple of jobs from home, working dads as we care for our parents or a loved one in the home. Yeah, that's a great point.
I think when you're in the office, there's a lot of activity, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of buzz, and sometimes that can be energizing, but sometimes it can just be distracting.
Distracting,
and
sure.
To push all that to the margins and just say, you know what? I've got these 8 or 9 hours or whatever it is, and I can just stick my head down and go.
Okay, so what are some of the struggles with working from home?
Yeah, Bill just said it's quiet at home. I have 3 kids, ages 10 and under. It's not quiet at home.
Yeah, they don't get what you're doing, and so they continue to interrupt. What else might be a struggle?
Well, again, strengths become weaknesses. The strength is quiet. But the weakness is quiet because sometimes you need interaction.
Yes.
You need somebody to bounce an idea off of, somebody to test a thought with.
It takes a much higher level of discipline because you can allow distraction and nobody's going to be there to see that you're being distracted.
Yeah, it can go either way.
It can. I know that when I transitioned from a 20-year role as a CEO of a nonprofit with a team all around me, and I went home to my desk in my home in this office and sat at my computer, I was stunned. I'm an introverted person, but I draw strength from other people. Believe it or not, I am an introvert. But at home, I truly experienced the pain of alone. There was no team. It challenged my identity. It challenged my significance. It challenged my value of myself. It challenged how sharp I was because I was all alone and nobody was there sharpening me. Have you experienced that kind of pain of alone vocationally?
Yeah, but in a different way. Okay. And I want to kind of just gently push back a little bit, Elisa, because I would suggest that when you were in that CEO role, you experienced it a lot of times of alone because when you're at the top of the food chain in an organization, there is a great amount of loneliness that comes from having to make the call on very mm-hmm. difficult things. And you don't share that with anyone else. You know, Harry Truman, the buck stops here, is a very real kind of aloneness when you're in leadership.
Thank you, Bill. That is so powerful. Leadership is lonely, whether you're working from home or you're working with a whole team.
And it depends on how healthy the team is that you work in, because mm-hmm. you could work in a huge team and be in the middle without having to make the decisions and feel like you're all alone too.
Mm-hmm. And nobody hears
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah. And without pushing it too far, you can also be the kind of leader who tries to do it all on your own.
Uh-huh.
You don't draw others in around you to share the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an unnecessary and an unhealthy kind of aloneness.
But we're sure normalizing how frequent we can experience the pain of alone in our work.
Yeah. And I hear it too, when people feel like they're the only ones doing it the right way
mm-hmm.
in an organization. They're mm-hmm. the ones that are still on mission mm-hmm. and everybody else isn't, or they're the ones that are still, you know, putting their hours in while other people aren't. And so they feel alone in that they feel more committed than other
yeah.
people.
As we continue talking about the pain of alone, we talked yesterday about relational loneliness, but today our focus is vocational loneliness in our work. And there is a section of scripture that describes the heaviness of work and how God interacts with it. And it's in the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 18. And I want us to look at it for a few minutes and see if we can discover some principles here that might help us in our vocational loneliness. Let's just go around and read it, 13 to 26. And Bill, would you start us?
Sure. Exodus 18, verse 13, the next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?"
Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions."
Okay, so now Moses' father-in-law replies, Mart.
Yeah, he says, "This isn't good." He says, you're going to wear yourself out, mm-hmm. and the people too. And this job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself.
Okay, let's just pause for a second, and can we experience the pain mm-hmm. of alone here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you
yeah.
see it? What's going on? How does this...
Well, first of all, I think it's really interesting after our previous conversation about Genesis 2, it's not good for man to be alone. Moses' father-in-law starts off by saying, this is not good.
Yeah.
You're trying to do this alone.
Yeah. And that word alone really means to be in part. There's a kind of not completeness to it. And he says in verse 18, you're going to wear yourself out. The work is too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't handle it alone.
Because the people, they're bringing their disputes, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And from morning till evening.
Yeah, so I was going to say, how many disputes is he handling?
So what does Moses' father-in-law Jethro propose in verses 19? And let's read on down to the end of this passage here.
"Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave."
Okay, verse 21.
"But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens."
And they should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters to themselves. They will help carry the load, making the task easier for you.
Okay. What principles do you see there? It's amazing.
Well, there's a Native American proverb that says, many hands make for light work. And that's certainly part of what the father-in-law is proposing. They're spread it out. Nobody can carry this all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting that he starts it off by saying, may God be with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He starts with God's presence and then says, now gather like-minded people to share in the work.
What is he supposed to teach these trustworthy men but who God is
mm-hmm.
and what God desires, so that they're not just coming up with what they think is best, but they're representing who God is and what God would have in these even small disputes?
The book of Ecclesiastes has a section that's really familiar to us in Ecclesiastes 4, There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with wealth. He goes on in verse 9, two are better than one, and talks about the reward they will have. You know, even the wealthy, wealthy, without help, without companionship, are burdened. Mm-hmm. And if you take it even further, doesn't this whole concept of heaviness and work and the load you carry have another echo?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one from the New Testament?
Jesus' words, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. The labor and are heavy laden part is the burdensome piece of work, but Jesus says rest is in him.
Yeah. So, you know, as we are experiencing the pain of alone in our work, we need to remember, yes, God is with us, but I think there's a reality that we need to look around us. Even if we're working from home, what can we do intentionally to address the pain of alone? I had a friend who worked at home for 30 years, and when I was transitioning, he gave me great advice. He said, it's going to take you a year to get used to this. I'm sure it takes a year to be a leader with people all around you, too, and get used to that, that dependency, that kind of a heavy mm-hmm. load. But the reality is, you know, to build into your day phone conversations or a coffee break with a friend or a mentor, find a mentor or a coworker who's in another remote place. Can we also ask about each other's lives and pray for one another? Mm-hmm. Those principles, similar to what Jethro gave to Moses, remind us that we are not alone, that God is with us in our work, but also push us mm-hmm. to begin to create mm-hmm. community that yeah. will address the pain of alone.
Good words today because, yeah, even while working from home, like so many people are doing today, you still need to find moments to connect with each other and build meaningful relationships. You're listening to Discover the Word with your regular study partners, Mark DeHaan, Lisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day. And we are halfway through the first week of our series called You Are Not Alone. And if you're looking for even more Discover the Word, I would encourage you to head over to discovertheword.org, where you'll have access to our entire archive of past programs. Spend an hour, spend a day, or a week discovering the Word with your favorite Bible study partners on a wide variety of topics. Or you can also have Discover the Word sent to your smartphone or tablet each day with Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Just hit that follow or subscribe button once on your favorite podcasting app, and you can listen whenever and wherever you want. Now, Discover the Word is the daily small group Bible study from Our Daily Bread Ministries. Our mission is to make the life-changing wisdom of the Bible understandable and accessible to all. And I'd like to invite you to partner with us financially so that others can benefit from participating in these conversations and by using all our resources as well. Every gift, no matter the size, truly does make a difference. Now, you can give a one-time gift or you can sign up to become a monthly partner when you go online to our website at discovertheword.org and click the Donate button. Well, you know, studies show that there is a clear connection between our emotional health and our physical health. When you're struggling mentally, the chances are high that your body is suffering in some way as well. And so next time on Discover the Word, Mart, Elisa, Bill, and Daniel will consider the physical effects of loneliness and how God can strengthen us in the pain of alone. And I'm Brian Hedinga, inviting you to join us Thursday when we discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministry.